pleasure to have you on today's episode. Today's episode is going to feature Toby Joshuaville, a post-grad intern with the NCAA, and today's topic is going to be how our upbringing affects our adjustment to college. A very interesting one, to say the least. But yeah, hit the subscribe button and for today's episode.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Pressing Forward podcast. Today we have a special guest, another fellow Nigerian, another brother of mine, you know what I'm saying? Toby Joshuaville, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Introduce yourself. You know, let them know who you are. Just give them a quick synopsis on who you are, man.
Hello, everybody. My name is Toby Joshuaville, as my great friend has said. Known NOLA since, what is it, 2019?
Yeah. He was interning at NOLA.
Yeah. Right. Known him since then. Actually went to school down the street from Rosemont College, where I received my bachelor's in sports management. After that, went to Syracuse University, received my master's in sports management. And I am currently a post-grad intern with the NCAA.
Amazing. And today's topic is going to be socioeconomic status as it relates to social adjustment to college. Why is that important? I'll let you answer that question.
For me, I feel as if it's important when you look at socioeconomic in general. It has two different sides of it, the social and the economic aspect. But in my opinion, I feel as if the social part is the most important part, because that's the relationship building, finding the group that really correlates with who you are. And when it comes to college, you know, you're basically, no matter how far or how close you are from home, it's still a different setting, still a different environment, community. So I feel as if finding that group that really correlates with who you are, what's the best word for it?
That resonates.
Yes. That resonates with who you are and where you come from. I feel as if that's really what's important when you think of social and not economic impact. I want to hear your aspect of it.
No, most definitely. I think you pretty much touched on the larger idea of socioeconomic status and social adjustment. I think the biggest thing is too, like, and especially for a lot of students. Like, you and I both went to like a PWI. So, for a majority of the Black students that go to these schools, at least let me speak from an athletic standpoint. Most of the Black students that come from the school come from, areas that are, lower in, SES, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make it any easier for us to, sort of try to find our place on campus, right? So I think that's one of the reasons why it's important. And adjustment to college in general, it's not easy anyways. You know what I mean? Regardless of where you come from, regardless of your background, it's not easy adjusting to a whole different environment, adjusting to a whole different group of people. But yeah, I think that's pretty much why I see it's a very important topic.
I just want to piggyback off of you saying, like, athletics. Athletics is a very big part in a lot of the student engagement aspect. Just, you play football, I play basketball. That's when you go into a school playing a sport, you have that interaction with other people, that relationship with other people. It doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much money your family has. All that matters is what everybody has came together for, and it's to play the sport. And I feel as if sports and athletics really do play a positive part when going into college and really adjusting, because when you think about it, your teammates are the people that you hang out with the most. That's like, everybody wants to say sports are like a frat. but like, really, in reality, it's a frat that you're not paying for. It's a frat that is really genuine, and you don't think about the factors that might play when it comes to socioeconomics and all that. So that's one thing I do feel that sports really plays a part in when it comes to socioeconomic and bringing people together.
That's important. And one of the things you also just touched upon that I think is important as well is because the athletic part, right? You make friends, you make connections through being on a sports team, through being on an athletic team. But I think another thing that isn't really talked about is trying to then relate to some of your, counterparts on campus, right? And trying to make friends outside of your athletic team. Now we're talking about a whole different ball game, right? And a lot of students struggle with this because it's not, you're not forced, right? When you're on the sports team, you kind of are the cliques and the connection. Not forced, but like you gotta spend a great deal of time together, right? So a lot of students, they tend to struggle when they have to sort of make connections outside of that circle of influence. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
So
sir.
then making friends is hard because now we don't relate on too much, right? With my teammates, we come from the same background. We do the same things, we like the same things, but now we're on campus and I'm trying to make friends and trying to make connections here. It's not as easy. You see what I'm saying? So I think those are one of the things that a lot of students struggle with as well, is trying to make connections outside of just, their athletic connections.
And like just going a little bit deeper into that. So when I went to Syracuse, I'm a grad student. When you're doing any type of professional studies, you're kind of like away from like the overall student body, like the undergrads, because you're more so focused on your career. When you think of undergrad, you're still trying to figure out your career. So while I was at Syracuse, I had this I had trouble like really trying to mess with people just because I'm not seeing them as often. But I do notice that like one thing that college does for the population is like bring you together within like events. With me, it was working in athletics. That's how I was able to interact with a lot of people that might have been undergrads, with a lot of people that might have been doctoral students or even other master's students. So it's just finding those events that the school actually does put on, finding those clubs, those internships, or something that they put in front of you, the resources that they put in front of you, which a lot of people do not use. Why? I don't know. Because a lot of people get too stuck in that college life. But that's one way I found helps me really build relationships with other people that I might not interact with on a daily basis, you know?
Gotcha. And let me ask you this. Even at your time, or from somebody who you said you've been able to find ways to form connections with different people on campus, for somebody who's not as let's say outgoing, or they feel like they're socially awkward in a way, what would your advice be to them on trying to find those connections, and also not only just finding the connections but also maintaining those connections? How do you kind of see that fit?
So this is a good one. It's because I'm like the ultimate like outgoing person. Like I'll talk to anybody, but like I do see the people that are more so laid back, speak when spoken to. For those people, you just gotta know who you are. You just gotta know what you like. I feel as if in order for you to like seek a relationship in anybody else, you gotta know who you are, where you come from. And for those people that are really soft spoken, I feel as if following your passion, your hobbies, if you see something on campus that might interest you, even though you might not have an external push, try and find it internally to push yourself to do something that you wouldn't do on a daily basis. Just because when you see these opportunities, a lot of people tend to shy away from them. Why? Because it's two reasons I feel as if they don't feel as if they're good enough for the opportunity, or they don't feel as if they're going to be able to build the relationships that they want. You never know unless you actually try. That's speaking from a personal and a career standpoint. So I feel that for the people that are soft-spoken, just be daring. Try something new. I always say, me, I hate trying new food. This is something that I just don't like. So that's like something that I'm working on, trying new foods, doing something that I wouldn't do. And for the people that might not go up to somebody and say, hey, how's your day going? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. You don't have to go to that extreme, but it's just small steps. Just waving at somebody, smiling at somebody. I always say a smile. When you smile at somebody, it's like a domino effect. Two things could happen. They either smile back at you or just look at you and just keep on going. It's one of those things that you just have to take that chance.
Right.
it's a 50-50% type of gamble. Smile at somebody, and they smile back at you, you're gonna feel a little bit better about yourself. Right, honestly, think about it.
And it's all trial and error, like it's all trial and error. Like the only way you're gonna know if it works is if you try it out. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Now that's very tangible advice too. And one of the things that came to mind while you was talking, my coach used to say this quote. He always used to say, you know, Coach Ola, right?
He always used to say,
start small and build. So like, that's one of the things that stuck with me, like in a lot of this, every sort of endeavor, you know, relationships, things like that, start small and build, right? So if you're struggling to, let's say, connect with people, or you're struggling to build relationships with people, or get out your comfort zone. Now, the first thing is not to look at it as I have to go and do this, like you said, this dramatic step. That's going to get me to where I want to get. But all right, maybe I want to do this, but I'll go to a cafe and walk up to somebody and just say hi to them, like you were saying. Then the next day or something, you see the same person. Hey, what's up? What's your name? So it's all like taking little steps to it. So it's just let it be natural, let it flow. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the things that, you know, I feel like that can also be a way to go about it as well. So
you can even see it like this. If you really like a girl, hey. A really like a girl that you see all the time, but you're scared to talk to her. It's just a small chat. You work your way into like asking her out on a date. At first, it's like, "Hi, how's your day going?" Blah blah blah. That's week one. Week two, go a little bit deep. How class is going? And then you just keep on gradually working your way up. Oh, would you like to study in the library? Work your way up. Hey, would you like to go on a date? You know, it's just those baby steps that you have to take with any relationship. It doesn't even have to be with a girl that you might have liked, but I just feel as if a lot of people could relate on that, because not everybody just goes up to a girl and be like, "Hey, you're cute. Would you like to go on a date? Can I have your number?" It's like, you know.
But you know, that's a solid example. And then one of the things I also wanted to touch upon was how familiar pressure is playing to that, like family pressure from family. Play into people's adjustments into college, because some students come in with more of an expectation on their back. They come in with more responsibilities, so to speak. So you think about families where they come from lower income, and you might be the first generation student in your family, first to go to college. It's more of a pressure. You have more on your shoulders, more at stake, so to speak. So how do you kind of see that playing into you know, students' adjustments as well?
I see that in two different ways. You know, myself, I come from a middle-class family, but I still feel as if I still have to work. One thing about me is that I'm very transparent. So I will literally tell, I actually have my own podcast for those that might not know. So I'm very transparent with anything that I say, because I really want you guys to get to know me. But, you know, I come from a middle-class family. My mom did a lot of sacrifices for me to get to where I am today. So, you know, one thing a lot of people do not know, I am from Nigeria. I was born in Nigeria. So that's just another added weight to my shoulders, because I'm paying for school out of pocket. I don't get any type of grant, no federal anything. So, you know, that's just one of the things that I went into college knowing, you know, that's just something that I went to college saying, if I'm going to go to college, I'm going to make the best of it, you know? So like when you are in those type of positions, you know, some people do have different resources when going into college. Some people have different education levels when going into college. So it's just like that aspect of, okay, what am I here for? Okay, I want to make my dream come true. I want to make my mother's sacrifices be worth it. And at the same time, I want to live the life that I want to live, but how am I going to make all those things come together as one? In my opinion, it's always education. When I went to school, you know, I had a choice. I did the community route first. And when I chose my 4-year school, you know, I thought about two different things. What am I going to school for? These are the schools I was looking at. UPitt Johnstown wanted to play basketball there. Rosemont College wanted to go there for the education. Westchester University. If you know Westchester, you're going there just to party. And Bloomsbury University, another party school. Those were my four choices. as you could see, 50% was party, you know? But I chose Rosemont because I really want the education. I really wanted to make that adjustment in my life and say, hey, I'm pushing towards a career. I'm pushing towards a goal. At this time, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I was pushing towards something. So for the people that are coming from a background where you really have to buckle down when you go into school, you know, it's not easy because you have so many distractions. Even when you go to school for education, you have distractions of parties, girls, whatever it could be, games. So like when you are making that adjustment into college and really buckling down, you just have to realize you have to stay focused on the main goal, honestly. And how that plays a part in building relationships is that you have to find the people that are mentally as focused as you, mentally as determined as you, mentally as optimistic. Because when you go to school, a lot of people say C's get degrees. That's not really what gets you degrees. What gets you degrees is you can get a degree. Honestly, C's can get you a degree. Right. It's about what you're obtaining from that degree.
Right.
You know, so it's when you go into college with that type of mindset that, hey, I want to be optimistic, learn as much as I can, get as much as knowledge as I can. Other people that are doing the same thing is going to attract to you because they're saying, hey, you're seeking the knowledge, even though you might not be as outgoing, you might be soft-spoken, but still the professors are seeing it. Right. They're going to connect you to the people that are equally as determined and as optimistic as you. So when you go into school, the relationship's always going to be there, no matter where your background is coming from, because man, it's not easy. It's not easy trying to balance your life as well as working a job and playing a sport.
Right, right.
And doing an internship. So it's just like one of those things that, excuse me, but you just have to realize what your overall goal is, why you're there, and all the chips are going to fall in place.
Right. And even from listening to you, one of the things that I'm pulling from what you're saying is, one, being able to find your tribe, find who you are. First, figure out who you are, right? And then from there, you settle in and find people who are like-minded, who are equally yoked to, you know, the goals, the things that you're trying to accomplish in life. And then also understanding and thinking about who you're becoming in the process of going to college. So you have all these ambitions, you have all these endeavors that you want to accomplish. So just being able to keep that at the forefront of why you're at the school, essentially.
Yes. Yes. Because one thing with society, you'll get sucked into a lot of the BS. I tend to put myself on like a social media cleanse where I probably deactivate all my social medias for a little bit because I really don't focus on who I am, focus on what I'm doing. A lot of people get sucked into seeing the social media, starting to put on this facade and being somebody that they're not, somebody that they're trying to be that they see on social media. You know, I have an icon, Kobe Bryant. People always saying, oh, I'm trying to be like him. No, I'm trying to follow the same footsteps that he took to become great. It's a difference from trying to be somebody that you see on Instagram than trying to be a better version of yourself. You know, right. just think of it in a different way. Because when you're seeing people on Instagram, when you're seeing people on these social medias, you're seeing them for their status, you know? And when I see people, I follow a lot of like motivational podcasts, motivational people in general, because that's the steps that I want to take. I want to be, Coach Tucker always said, I remember our first week, he said, he had us reading a book called Mastery. And what the book was about was basically being the best version of yourself, learning with a growth mindset. So what I am seeing on, and one thing that really stuck out is, if you want to be more positive, put more positive things into your mind.
Right.
The more information positive, the more positive information that you read, that you are constantly seeing. It's what you're going to be putting back out into the world. So that's why when I look at social media, I tend to try and look at people that are motivational, people that really are doing great things in this world. And I try and like take small things from them. You know, when you play a sport, You see all these players that you really like, but you're taking the small things from them and putting that into your skill set. Right. And that's what makes you a better person. Everything. That's just how I think about things like that, of that nature. Just knowing who you are, knowing what your goals, just mindset. Because everybody changes over the course of time. The change is on you if it's a good or bad change.
Right. And it's important that you, one of the things you mentioned there was the growth mindset. And there's something between the growth mindset and fixed mindset. And that was something, again, that Coach Tuck always mentioned. The growth mindset is, you know, you're continually trying to find ways to improve yourself. You're continually trying to grow as a person. You're continually trying to learn different things and not feeling like you've mastered something, essentially, right?
Yep.
And the fixed mindset is, you know, you kind of, you know, different struggles tend to be a hindrance to your growth instead of looking at it from, okay, I suck at this, but, you know, I can take different steps to become better at it. And I think that's also important in any endeavor, like you were saying, right? Is having the right mindset, the right approach to it.
Yeah, for sure, man. And that's just, you know, I wish that a lot more of the youth really thinks. I wish that they thought that way, just because just the type of world that we're in, you know, just coming off of a crazy pandemic that we just had it feels like it was like last year, but it was 2 years ago. You know, mental health is one of the biggest aspects of a growth mindset. I was having a talk with somebody. They said a lot of people feel as if they're still in that virtual world. How do you get people out of that virtual world? You know, schools can do, as I said, they could put everything in front of you. It's up to you to grab it, take it, make it yours, you know? And that all plays a part in how you portray everything, how you go about your daily life. What are you intaking? Are you taking more negative than positive? Are you intaking more positive than negative? You know, it's what's the balance?
Amazing, man. It's all good conversation, man. It's all good conversation. I wanted to sort of bring the social adjustment, kind of what we was talking about originally. And if this doesn't flow as smoothly, I can always kind of, you know, do the edits. I'm not really tripping about it.
No, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. Was there anything that you felt like you wanted to touch upon in terms of as it pertains to kind of the topic for today?
I just wanted to touch upon, like, it was something that I was reading, honestly. So basically, when I was reading what social impact really means, something that really played a part in it is something that we actually touched on a little bit earlier. I'm gonna read it word for word. It says background factors may play a role in a person's life decisions, such as their career or family choices. So, you know, a lot of people that I've interacted with, they've always told me the reasons why they're working hard. You know, they always told me it's because of something that's happened in the past. They don't want to be like somebody else. That's really why they chose their life path. You know, you hear a lot of nurses, you know, because they've had a lot of tragedies when it comes to health. You know, how does that play a part in how the population of college interacts with other people? You know, you don't really see nurses interacting with a lot of people. Why? Because they're so stuck on their books. It's that when I say college population, my roommate is actually the inclusion intern for the NCAA. How are we including everybody from all different
walks and different backgrounds?
Walks. Yeah. Yep. How are we including everybody into one? That's the real thing. No matter what social community they might come from, no matter where they're coming from, you could be going to school in Milwaukee or Seattle, but you live in Philadelphia. How are you bringing that Philadelphia community to your school, even though it might be a PWI?
Right.
That's one of the things that I really feel as if colleges need to do a little bit better with the including part. I see that they're doing it a lot with the LGBTQA community, welcoming them more into college populations, Making sure that they feel comfortable. That's the key point. That's the key word, key term.
Right.
Comfortability. How are you comfortable? How comfortable are you? Do you have to make adjustments for you to be comfortable? You know, the way I talk with you isn't the same way I'm going to be talking with a boss, a professor.
Right. Right.
That's just the small things that I really see when I look at colleges. That's small things that I really see when I look at environments, when I look at groups. What's the percentage of that person being themselves in a certain population?
Right. For the comfortability to be themselves. Right. Okay. And I think that draws to a larger conversation too for a lot of, you know, Black minority students or just minority students in general on PWIs. Are they allowing for spaces that allow these students to also be themselves as well?
Yeah.
You have a lot of, you know, different areas or just different things that are set in the traditions of certain schools. Do those allow other students who may not come from, you know, those traditional backgrounds, do they allow them to feel comfortable on campus? And I think creating initiatives, creating programs that allow students to feel comfortable, you know, because it's been many students who go to a PWI, it's been their struggle to really find their place on campus. And some people don't really ever find their place, which is crazy. You know what I mean? Like you go to school for 4 years and feel like you're outside of the whole 4 years, which is absolutely crazy when you think about it. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's really important in terms of trying to create initiatives, create programs, create different outlets, areas on campus, whatever the case may be, that allows these students to feel like themselves, you know?
Yep. Yep. And I've seen a lot of schools actually starting to go more to in the podcast, doing a lot more community relations, trying to reach out to the minorities in their community, bringing them onto campus. I know Syracuse, actually, this is one thing that I love to see. So Syracuse actually last year, the athletics, they just went into this agreement with the MEAC, HBCUs, and basically it's a 10-year agreement where basically Syracuse is offering internship positions as well as basically scheduling games with the MEAC and the schools that's in that conference. But that's something that is an initiative. That's something that a lot more schools need to do because they have to remember there are ethnicities within their community, within their school, that are not all going to want to see or might not be comfortable with only seeing a certain demographic when watching the sport. So if you're going to bring, if you want, my feel is if you really want the people in your community to feel more comfortable, why not bring in more people of their kind? Why not bring in more people that might look like them, that might be able to relate to them in a different manner? You know, for instance, you know, you see a lot of, I'm a basketball guy. You see a lot of NBA players going and playing summer leagues, playing the summer leagues like the Drew League, the Seattle League. Why are they doing that? Because they're doing it for the people that might not have the money to go and watch and play on the big screen. So why not bring in for college? Why not bring in these historical HBCUs to come and share their culture, come and share their culture for the people that might not be able to even go to their schools to see the culture.
That's a solid idea right there.
You know what I mean?
Right. That makes perfect sense. And being able to experience it, even if you can't experience it on a day-to-day, just having a little piece of it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. That's
could they have a swag to them? Sure. They have a, you know when certain people just have a swag to them, and you want to see it in person. You want to see how they move, how they, you know. It's a lot easier seeing it on TV, but it's a lot. You feel a different connection when you're in person. You know, that's just how I see that. Just bringing in more African American speakers, bringing in more. Hispanic speaking speakers, you know, to come and just speak to the schools, come and speak during commencement. Those, it's the small things, you know?
Right. The representation, that small representation, as you say, it might seem small, but on a larger scale, it plays such a big role. And it shows that, you know, these schools are taking that initiative that they even thought to think, they thought to do these things. So,
yeah.
I just want to be cognizant of the time. So, usually how we, you know, end the show is, you know, we ask the guests, you know, what do they want to leave with the people? A bit of advice, one piece of advice that you would like to leave with the people.
One piece of advice that I would like to leave the people. Okay.
This is the inspiration, by the way. So you got to hear something. You got to,
you know, for me, my one piece would be, everybody's definition of success is different. Find your definition of success and run with it. That's my words of wisdom. That's my words of wisdom.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. All right. Did you hear anything that I just said?
It kind of cut off. I'm not going to lie to you. It recorded, though. So as long as they heard it, you good. I mean, you can say it again, though, because I can edit it out. So don't even.
Oh, no. Basically, what my words of wisdom was, everybody's definition of success is different. Find your definition of success and run with it. And that was basically my words of wisdom for everybody.
Solid. I was wondering for a second. I was wondering why you were just standing there looking, whatever. But but nah, I got you though, bro. All right, so that pretty much concludes today's episode. Just let them know where they can find you at, because you do have a podcast as well. So just let them know where they can find you at, handle, whatever the case may be, man.
So my Instagram for my podcast is kicking_it_with_Tobe. That is where I'm mainly on. I don't really go onto my private Instagram account, but if you really want to speak to me on there, I always answer DMs. I'll even give my email. I don't even know which email I should give, but
it's all good. We're gonna drop information, everything that's needed to connect to.
For sure.
And everything. But again, I just want to appreciate you for coming on, sharing your time, sharing your wisdom as well, and blessings to you, my guy.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Hey, this has been a blast. My first time being on a guest on somebody else's podcast, and it's honestly fun, man. It's honestly fun.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Pressing Forward. And if you would like to watch the visuals as well to this episode, it's available on YouTube. So be sure to go on there, like, share, subscribe. You know, this might help somebody else. So be sure to share with your circle of influence, your friends, whatever the case may be. And have a great day.